ACL during yesterday's joint practice against the Raiders and will be out for the season. Los Angeles Chargers starting center Tyler Biadasz will be out indefinitely after injuring his ACL and other parts of his left knee during yesterday's joint practice with the 49ers. Baltimore Ravens center Danny Pinter, who was bidding to succeed Biadasz as the Ravens starting center, was carted off the field a short time ago at Baltimore's joint practice with the Minnesota Vikings. Major League Baseball right now, the Detroit Tigers, a 3-2 lead at Pittsburgh, bottom of the eighth inning. Pirates starter Paul Skenes in 4 1/3 innings allowed 3 earned runs and 5 strikeouts. At Wrigley, the Cubs and White Sox are scoreless in the top half of the third inning.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, USDA says a Texas facility designed to produce sterile flies for New World screwworm control will open next spring, earlier than expected. The facility is expected to produce 100 million sterile flies per week by the end of 2027 and 300 million weekly by the end of 2028. The facility comes after the first U.S. infestation of New World screwworm in 3 decades was detected in Texas this summer. Well, Canadian trade officials met with U.S. Trade Representative Jamieson Greer last week as both countries work to avoid new tariffs scheduled to take effect today. President Trump has proposed 50% tariffs on nearly $20 billion worth of Canadian imports, including products that previously received exemptions under the USMCA. Canadian officials have indicated they could offer concessions on some U.S. trade concerns in exchange for dropping the new tariffs. American produce growers are facing increasing competition from imports during periods when domestic crops are also available. The American Farm Bureau Federation reports produce imports increasingly overlap with U.S. growing seasons instead of supplying fruits and vegetables when American production is unavailable. Farm Bureau says that shift places more financial pressures on domestic specialty crop producers. American growers frequently face higher labor, regulatory, and production expenses than foreign competitors, making competition difficult.
Ranchers are the primary managers and environmental stewards of more than 250 million acres of federal land across the West. As a cow-calf producer from Colorado who has held federal grazing permits for over 50 years, I've seen directly how national policy affects my operation. I'm Robbie LaValle of the National Public Lands Council, and I invite you to join PLC in Colorado this September for our 58th annual meeting. Register to join us at our convention September 15th through 17th on our website, publiclandscouncil.org.
Hi folks, here at the Western Ag Network, our hearts go out to the ranchers, farmers, families, and firefighters battling devastating wildfires across the West. In challenging times like these, we're reminded of the strength of our rural communities and the neighbors who step up to help one another. At the Western Ag Network, we're proud to serve these communities. From all of us here, we say thank you to everyone working to protect lives, livestock, and livelihoods. Stay safe.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as Treasury yields tumble and healthcare stocks advance. Shares of Moderna are surging 140%, and Merck stock is up over 10% following news that their customized melanoma vaccine kept patients cancer-free for longer than standard treatments. And the minutes from the Fed's late July meeting were just released this afternoon. Most participants supported keeping interest rates unchanged, but several favored an increase. steps. Many officials say that higher interest rates would likely be necessary if inflation did not fall. Target is raising expectations for the year on the back of stronger than expected quarterly results. Its sales rose 3.8%, its strongest quarterly sales in years after the big box retailer lowered prices and updated stores and merchandise. Its stock is up 5%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Memory is pretty selective. When it comes to the good old days, it leaves out a lot of the not so good. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Not so long ago, I found myself in a discussion concerning the state of the world with some young people, including my own children. Strangely enough, it wasn't old Dad who was nostalgic about the good old days and sour about today's world. No, it was the now generation who were pessimistic about where we are and where we're going. They also seemed resentful toward me because I'd known that other world of yesterday when life was simple and good with joy on every hand. Before I knew it, my memory machine was functioning the way it's supposed to on a psychiatrist's couch, dredging up particulars, not just the rosy nostalgia that comes to mind when you hear an old song. Now, don't get me wrong. My memories are pretty happy, and I enjoy closing my eyes now and then for a rerun or two. But I also find life exciting and good today, in truth better, in most respects. I looked at these young people and wanted them to feel good about the world they've inherited. They'd already covered such things as present-day pollution, our grasping materialism, and the commercial rip-off in modern-day merchandising. So for a little while, they heard about the old nightly chore of banking the coal furnace, that shoveling ashes on the fire to keep the coals alive through the night. The cold early morning journey to the basement to shake the grate, uncover the embers and shovel in coal, and dressing in the shivering cold while you waited for the house to warm. As for their worry about air pollution, they were reminded that in the earlier times every chimney in town belched black smoke and soot every day from fall till summer. Having been born in a small country town, I could also tell them of that nighttime walk through the snow to that little wooden building out back of the house, a journey repeated in the morning. Summer brought the flies incubated in those outhouses, and there was an outhouse for every home, store, and public building. I went on about the apple barrel in the cellar, the ice box, the lack of fresh vegetables in winter. But let me go back a century or more so this won't be just a personalized trip down memory lane. Dr. John J. Maketa, chairman of the National Air Quality Commission, has written an essay which helps set the record straight on pollution and related subjects. In passing, he gives a capsule description of the really good old days about 150 years ago. For one thing, he says, life was short. Life expectancy for males was 38 years. It was a hard 38 years, too, for the work week was 72 hours. For women, it was even worse. Their household chores ran to about a 98-hour week. They scrubbed floors by hand, made clothes the same way, brought in firewood, cooked in heavy iron pots, and fought off insects without pesticides. There were no fresh vegetables except in their season of ripening, so vitamin deficiency diseases were common. Epidemics were an annual occurrence and usually claimed the life of someone in the family. If we think water pollution is a problem now, it was deadly then. One typhoid epidemic in Philadelphia caused by polluted water carried off one-fifth of the population. It was a time when most people never traveled more than 20 miles from their birthplace, never heard an orchestra or saw a play. As Dr. Maketa says, perhaps the simple life was not so simple. Because we've all been treated to so much misinformation about pollution, I'm going to give you some more of the facts the doctor is collecting in the next couple of days. I think you'll be surprised and relieved. He says and proves that we're not on the brink of ecological disaster. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. And for probably about the last 15 years, we have been talking about the arguments over water. You have a group of very wealthy people, the Resnicks, some large property owners that wanted to water bank. There was a plan. We want to store water in the aquifer and then sell it. That's how the Resnicks became some of the richest people in California when they did that to Kern County. And they were pushing hard to get water banking and control the water. And again, it goes back about 15 years. And at that time, there were a few people that were really promoting it, the Resnicks, some people tied to Harvard, Bruce Gibson and later John Hammond. There was a group of people that really wanted this water banking in. Then there were other people. For example, Debbie Arnold was very involved, and she had years ago, when she first got elected, she had known that Cal Coast News reporter Dan Blackburn had worked for, and my partner had worked as a lobbyist for the same people when they took over the Kern County Water Bank or Water Basin. And he knew a lot. He knew what was going on. And she had called and asked him to meet him. And they had talked and sat at a coffee shop and had a long talk. And that was the first of dozens. Debbie said, "This is too complicated. We got to do it again." And then Greg Graywall became very, very involved. He worked with Debbie Arnold to try to stop this and protect the small farmers. Because once you water bank, once somebody stores water, they have a right to the water above others. And so when other people, then they want to control what other people are taking out, and then they can end up charging everyone for using the basin. And as I have been told, this is recharging the basin means you put water back in to help everyone. Banking means you're saying you have a higher right than others to it. It was fought and fought and fought. And then remember around 2013, the San Luis Obispo County, there was a drought at that time. There was a drought conditions. And they wanted to have some restrictions on the water. While they were talking about putting these restrictions in, you had a group of very large, the people, like the Resnicks that owned land and the guys from Harvard, they bought up a bunch of land in the area. And while other people were they weren't growing that year because they were trying to protect the water, these guys were planting like mad. Remember all the oak trees got ripped out? These were a group of people taking advantage. So when they put that emergency ordinance in 2013, you're the guy with 30 acres who stopped growing during this time. And you were told you didn't grow last year, so you don't have a right to grow again. And these other guys were then saying, we'll sell you some of our water rights. We've gained rights. Someone who's been growing crops on that land, their family, for 50 years, were suddenly told you can no longer grow. Well, Debbie Arnold fought for the community. She fought against it. And again, you had Bruce Gibson and you had John Hammond and others fighting on the other side. So then what happened was you had a group of 800 residents over the basin, property owners over the basin, and some right outside of the basin that said, no, no, we are not going to do this, and we're going to file for quiet title. Because guess what? You can't, they have a right to their water use. You can't just spill it. You don't get quiet title and say, I'm going to build a bunch of ponds and just waste water. That's not how it works. But you have rights to your water, and they can't tax you, and it gives you quiet title rights to your water and doing things on your property. So 800 people filed for that. You had Bruce Gibson and John Hammond fighting to fight them. So they through the county and through the city of Paso Robles and a number of other groups, they fought against them getting quiet title. They were trying to have being able to tax them. So it goes on and on and on, 12 years. So the government, in this 12 years of hearings, and all but one of the hearings, every hearing went for the overliers and against the government agencies. Every single hearing, there was one hearing in which they got a minimal. So it was determined that it's never had a true overdraft. There's been a couple small areas where there was overdraft at some small portion of time. But the judges determined, or a court determined, there was about 92,000 acre feet of saved annual yield out of the Paso Robles Basin. And of that, they did say, you've got a priority right to like the Paso Robles Mutual Water Company and the others. All the government agencies had a right to 2,000 acre feet of that. The others have 90,000 acre feet, the property owners above the basin. That was a major win. The county actually looked at that and said, we won. No, you didn't. you got rights to a very small amount of water. But here's the kicker. You had John Hammond and Bruce Gibson pushing for this to the very end. Government agencies in our county, the city of Paso Robles, San Miguel, the county, they spent over $16 million of taxpayer money fighting the residents. The residents put in about $5 million. $21 million was spent on this lawsuit alone. They dropped their last, they've had, I think, six or seven hearings. They've dropped their last alternative defense before it even went to a hearing. They said, we have no more defenses. The judge said, told the property owners seeking quiet title, we need you to give us a proposed order, meaning they've won the case. They have got to give a proposed order, and then the judge will rule. And it has to follow all what's been said at the hearing. The proposed order must follow. What has happened? This happened. We won this. We won that. We won this. It needs to. There's 92,000 acre feet, but 20. And when I say 21 million, you have to understand also. Remember Measure B, which lost by 80%. There were millions spent on that. Remember that 218 vote. There another attempt to do it. Millions spent on that. It's way more than 20 million that has been spent trying to allow people to control the water and tax the people to use water under their property, even though it's been against the U.S. Constitution and against the Constitution of California, but they fought for control of the water for wealthy groups, basically. So today I have Greg Graywall, who was one of the leaders, the lawsuit was filed by Steinbeck, Cindy Steinbeck, and the 800 people were part of a group that put it together, and there was another man that wanted his own attorney in there. But over 800 people involved in the Cindy Steinbeck lawsuit will now be getting their rights. And this comes right as they're voting again to find a way to tax so they can keep their agencies going. But what I think what we're going to have to see in the long run is, how are you going to tax people that have been told you can't tax? How are you going to make these side groups? And should you go back to the county and the management that was reasonable, but that doesn't allow you to water bank? I don't think they can water bank now anyway. But Greg, I wanted to thank you. This is Greg Graywall. I want to thank you for what you've done for the community.
Thank you very much.
And I want us to go over this. Well, first of all, how do you feel now that the last alternative defense is over?
Oh, I love that. I'm just waiting for the judge to sign this last document, and then he'll put, kind of an end of the summary of all of the orders that have been completed for the six phases of. So phase one was what we had it to prove, and the rest of the phases, the defendants had to prove their affirmative defenses. We didn't have to prove that, and they couldn't prove any of their affirmative defenses. Going back to the emergency ordinance in 2013, and this is a quote from Frank Meacham. This will never be permanent. This is a two-year timeout, and we're not trying to do take your water X, Y, or Z. All of these same agencies signed an agreement in 2005 called the prior agreement, which stated the basin was not in overdraft. They were going to manage things. They were going to do studies. They were going to do X, Y, or Z. They would never file prescription, so on and so forth. When we went to the trial in 2018, they tried to hide that document because that document proved what we were saying. They had to prove there was a problem to try to get a prescriptive amount of water. We were saying there isn't a problem, and there's no study that shows a problem. So if you want to claim there's a problem, provide the study that shows that. There is no study. We've spent millions of dollars over the last 20, 25 years that we've gotten in grant money on consultants doing studies on this basin. So six studies and actual work on the basin show that the high is 98,000 acre feet of available safe yield, and the low is about 90,000. So the average would be 94,000 acre feet. This includes the Atascadero subbasin, which is 16,400 of that number. So even if you subtract their water and the little portion in Monterey, you still have over 73,000 acre feet of water available in the Paso Basin, and we don't use that much. We have a shallow well issue. The shallow well issue was concentrated where the ag clusters were. The county of San Luis Obispo allowed the ag clusters of homes in the rural farming area. They were supposed to be able to function with farming around them. When the irrigated agriculture came in around those clusters, those people were having shallow well issues because of the pumping of the vineyards and or other farming. Now, if farming was there first, well, then the people had to think about that when you build next to it. But the irrigated farming, just like at the Hardem Ranch, there was 800 acres there that had never been irrigated. It was dry farmed and cattle. When Justin bought it, Stuart Resnick's company, he planted the 800 acres, put in four 50-acre-foot ag ponds, and those ag ponds evaporate water besides used water. So they're constantly being filled. There's these wells that they read twice a year. There's five of these wells around that area. 28 wells around that area have been replaced. Those wells used to be between 250 to 300 feet deep. So during the period of time in 2012 when they planted this area to the present, the water has dropped over 300 feet in that area because of an area that should have been looked at through the land use authority on causing a problem in that particular area. Now, that is west of the Creston sub-area. In the Creston sub-area, there's a monitor in the fire station well that shows, I can look it up, it's called HydroView, and it's been in there for over a year and a half. The water is at 16 feet below the ground. There is no problem with the watershed and the water use in the Creston sub-area, but there is in the El Pomar sub-area. And it goes like this around the basin. our basin in 2014 was a very low, at the lower end of a medium basin. And so if we're a medium basin, you still have to do annual reports. You still have to follow rules. You still have to do everything. By making us a high priority, the county thought, okay, we have to turn in our plan 2 years earlier, but we're getting grant money, and it'll look better when we go into court to claim we're overdrafted.
And the judges, let me clarify a few things. The judge determined the overdraft was created by Bruce Gibson saying something and the Tribune writing it as fact. And then the state said, well, the Tribune wrote it. We thought you guys did something. No, there was no overdraft. The judge came back that there was an overdraft. But I want to go back to that emergency ordinance. So they put this in 2013, and it comes back, and they keep re-upping it. And then Debbie Arnold says no, and she pushes to get rid of it. Lynn Compton voted to get rid of it. Debbie Arnold voted to get rid of it. John Pashon voted to get rid of it, and Gibson and Adam Hill wanted to keep it. So they get rid of it. Well, the sad thing is, then Jimmy Paulding comes in. And Jimmy Paulding, the very first meeting or two, he says, oh, we need that emergency ordinance back. All that was doing was giving power to the large, like the Resnicks, the large owners, and telling these other people, you cannot, this happened so quickly, they never got to be able to grow again. So these same people that were stopped in 2013 continue to not be able to lose their land. So will they be able to use their land now, their water?
Yes.
The ones that filed for quiet title.
Yes, yes.
So okay. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
And Debbie Arnold is going to come in at the 1 o'clock hour. They were able, so that farmer, there was a woman that says, I don't know, you know, what do? Our property's useless. This is going to help those people. They have a right now to use their water. Not just the Resnicks, not just the people that planted during the drought, the people that actually tried to help the community will now be able to farm again.
We got to understand that there's two basic groups of people in the basin. There's appropriators. Appropriators are water districts that sell water. There's overliers. Overliers are the landowners that live over the unincorporated area that depend on their wells.
And some of the overliers, though, were the ones that planted and wanted to sell. So there was an idea. They were saying, well, you can buy a 100-acre fee from us. We'll follow our crops. You buy 100. They were trying to sell water to those that were told they could no longer use their water.
That is illegal in the state of California. The beneficial use is on the land that's above the groundwater. It's not transferable. It's not exchangeable. It's not any of that. As soon as you start marketing water, you are now an appropriator. This is the problem that they didn't understand at the trial, what we were trying to prove. We had the priority right to the first beneficial use. They have the second priority right. And so they needed to just follow the law. Paso has supplemental water. Why won't they use it? Because it costs them more. Not my problem. That's their problem. They decided to be a city. They decided to be a water district. They have no land use authority outside of the city limits. They have no authority as an appropriator to tell anybody that lives over the basin that's a priority right holder what they can and can't do. So they didn't want to be stopped building hotels and other things like that and using groundwater. And they don't recharge anything. They waste all the water by exporting it after they partially treat it by dumping it in the river and sending it north through Monterey to the ocean. So where is their treatment plant that recharges water back to the basin after they get done using it?
And
every landowner recharges through their septic system.
And why? We're a community. San Luis Obispo County, we should all be working together. We should all be community oriented. Just because one person lives inside the city of Paso Robles and another person lives a half a mile away in the county, are we really going to say, well, we don't want to use our supplemental water and pay a slight amount more. Let's take away their water rights. I don't even and make them pay.
Well, they already pay over $4 million a year for principal and interest on the Nacimiento pipeline. This year, in their fiscal year, they're going to pay at least $6 million for operation and maintenance of that pipeline. So they're paying $10 million not to use their Nasi water. Can't cost that much more to actually use it Why did they build a treatment plant that can't treat the amount of water that they have? Even if they wanted to use all 6,488 acre feet, their treatment plant can only clean 2,688 acre feet. So they, in the last 10 years, they've wasted over 5,000 acre feet of water that could have been put to beneficial use. So there's 50,000 acre feet of water. How can you claim we don't have supplemental water and we have any kind of issues when you have water that's not being put to beneficial use?
I have a question when we come back. I want to find out. We're going to take a break from our sponsors. Can they use that water without treating it and put it in the aquifer? We'll be back with more with Greg Graywall.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I'm talking about the great news. After 12 years, the Overliers have won the case. They were told by the judge to give a proposed order, and they have given the judge a proposed order. They're waiting for them to sign it or change it. But the fight over banking water and control over the water, and they 800 property owners wanted to be able to protect their water from being taxed or fees, and they have, after 12 years of hearings, they have won. Which is, so I have Greg Graywall, which is very involved in this. I also have Debbie Arnold calling in after the top of the hour. But Greg, one of the things I was going to say, I'm hearing they don't want to use the water in Paso from Lake Nacimiento because they have to clean it. But in other areas, I have seen where they've taken water and they pumped it into the aquifer or pumped it into the ground, because then it actually cleans itself to a degree, and then it comes up in the basin. Why don't they just pump it into the basin as recharge? Could they do that?
Yeah, they could. They could always do that. You can always dump water for recharge. The question is, they're going to want to dump it where they get the benefit. So where would they put it? Which is fine with me. If they, I just want them to use their supplemental water. I don't care if they recharge it. I don't care if they clean it and use it. When they decided to do the Nacimiento pipeline, they knew they were going to have to clean that water because people swim in it, boats are in it, there's all kinds of stuff. So there was never a question. All of those agencies or six outfits that belong to the Nazi pipeline, they decided not to put a treatment plant at the pipeline at the dam. They could have had one treatment plant to treat the 15,750 acre feet of water that can come out of there to the different people that, that get part of that water. They chose not to do that. They chose to do individual things. So that cost and that burden is on them. But going back to the fact that they're an appropriator, and an appropriator has to do certain things that the overlier doesn't have to do. We have 23,000 acre feet of water that's in the Salinas Reservoir, built by the Army Corps of Engineers, and the city of San Luis couldn't grow. So they piggybacked on the Army Corps of Engineers to get that water to send down to South County. That's North County's watershed water that recharges our basin. So when we're talking about who gets a benefit and who should pay for something, Bruce Gibson never wants to bring up the fact that San Luis Obispo City has taken a benefit and has never paid a nickel for the water that they take from North County's watershed that recharges our basin. And looking back at the documents, because I have every document for every month since the dam was opened, I can look up today to see what happened last month. How much water evaporated? What is the level of the dam? How much have they let out? There's a thing called the live stream agreement. They don't use more than 3,000 or 4,000 acre feet a year out of that water. We have just an equal amount or more that evaporate off of the lake. They're supposed to be letting it out when there's no benefit for them to take it, because they get water from whale rock also, and they take more of that than they take from the San Lu- or from the reservoir up here. So during the summer months is when you're going to get the better recharge. That water should be flowing right now to recharge the basin, because it doesn't take very long for that dam to fill back up. And that dam was never completed because there's a keyway that a gate fits in. They decided not to finish Camp San Luis, and they gave away the gate to another dam. Otherwise, it would hold 45,000 acre feet of water. But what purpose is it if you're not using the 23 that's there? Again, when you're talking water, you have to have the infrastructure to move the water. So whether you're talking the State Water Project, or you're talking Nacimiento Water Project, when you're talking, you know, recharging in different areas, you have to have a way to move the water that you're talking about moving.
And one of the other things that's happening right now, and I think this is, first of all, a lot of people don't waste as much water. They don't, you know, they don't take as many showers. They take quicker showers. They, you know, they don't do a load with two things in it. There's been the amount of waters that a lot of the communities are using has gone down dramatically as they've worked to not use it in their households and to do things more environmentally correct. But at the same time, you have groups of scientists saying this change in temperature, the world does not remain the same. The world is always changing. There's places with ice caps that used to be deserts. And they are coming out and saying that degree and a half change in the ocean down by the tip of South America, it's not going back. And we're going to end up having way more atmospheric rivers, some hurricanes. We're going to have a lot more water. And because of that, areas that had a lot of rainfall may become what they'll call it drought, because it's going to be different. And they're saying these other areas, including our area, and this is a lot of scientists, is going to have more water than it used to. Going back 40 years, this is going to be more water, fewer real low years. And I've been watching the water. I've been keeping track of this for 20 years around here. And I am noticing, you know, when they're now saying it's been a bad year, it used to be what they called a good year. So I do see a lot more real heavy rainfall. I'm wondering if you could even make any money trying to bank and sell it anyway.
Well, you, even if you're going to sell it, you have to have infrastructure to move it.
Yes. Yes. And I do think that there's two things here. Not only are they not allowed to do it, but I think because of some of the changes in weather, it's not as positive an idea as it used to be. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and then we're going to be back with Debbie Arnold and Greg.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.